Testament reading for today comes from Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. Meanwhile, the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around Jesus to listen to his teachings, at which the Pharisees and the religious scholars murmured, "This person welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus then addressed this parable to them. "Who among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the open pasture and search for the lost one until it's found? And finding it, you put the sheep on your shoulders in jubilation. Once home, you invite friends and neighbors in and say to them, 'Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 righteous people who have no need to repent. And what householder who has 10 silver pieces and loses one doesn't light a lamp and sweep the house in a diligent search until she finds what she has lost? And when it is found, the householder calls in her friends and neighbors and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the silver piece I lost.' I tell you, there will be the same kind of joy before the angels of God over one repentant sinner." It is my honor to speak to you today. As the Christian Education Coordinator and Youth Director here at First Congregational United Church of Christ, I watch all the learners of this community grow and change and evolve into people I see as faithful believers of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. When I was 2 years old, I got lost. My family had gone to the mall in the big city to get school clothes for my sister, and I soon grew bored. One minute, my mother knew exactly where I was, and the next, I was gone. For the 20-odd minutes that I was missing, my mother's panic increased with each moment until finally I was found across the store in the hardware department. More precisely, I was found testing out Sears' selection of claw-tooth hammers. I was a bit perplexed over my mother's tears and threats to spank me. Lost? What did she mean, I was lost? I wasn't lost. I knew exactly where I was. Sometimes we do not know we are lost until someone else points it out to us. A few years later, I started school. At that time, Wilbur was a town of 800, hunkered down between the sagebrush and the wheat fields of the high desert of eastern Washington. It was the kind of small town that had 4 bars and 5 churches, and not much more. These days, it has even less. The first things I learned in my kindergarten class was that my classmates took naps and they went to church. Both things perplexed me because, as far as I knew, these were both things that only old people did. When I questioned my mother, she said I was welcome to nap if I felt the need. It was the 70s, by the way. And that I was welcome to go to church with my grandmother if I wanted to check it out. So one Sunday, I headed off to the Presbyterian church where my grandmother was a deacon. Over the years, that building helped to marry more than a handful of my family members and bury even more. And it taught me about sin and feeling lost. Christian education occurred before the service in that church, and so Grandma dutifully sent me off to my Sunday school classes, clutching a quarter and a tiny Bible. Each classroom was the same. Big windows, a crucifix, a framed photograph of a smiling blonde man in a white tunic and sandals, surrounded by children in white lambs, and colorful posters listing off the Ten Commandments, as well as cheerful reminders that, yes, Jesus loves me. I remember being taught all kinds of crafty things to do with yarn and sticks, macaroni and a cigar box, and ways to lace my fingers into steeples and people. But what I don't remember is how my Sunday school teachers connected Jesus loving me to how the rest of the Bible talked about being a Christian. Instead, I remember lots of talk of sinners and hell and Jesus' sacrifice. When I asked questions about the things I found to be illogical in our Bible stories, I was told that the stories of the Bible were the Word of God, and I just needed to have faith. As a farm kid, I couldn't see how faith could possibly make a boat big enough to hold all those animals plus their food. And how on earth did Noah keep the lions from eating the pigs anyway? Soon, I learned that asking questions didn't help make sense of this thing called church. The message from the pulpit during the service expanded on those themes, reminding parishioners that we were born sinners and that our only hope of salvation was through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. The sermons didn't help me understand my logic problems with the scripture. They just made me feel badly for even questioning them. I was right smack in that developmental stage where I was grounded in thinking in absolutes. There was no gray in my six-year-old mind, and I was sitting in a church that preached in absolutes. And it all felt wrong to me. The last time I worshiped in that church, I remember sitting next to my grandmother. She smelled of white shoulders and Tide laundry detergent. Easter was approaching, and the pastor was in fine form. He was talking about Jesus and Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, and then he interrupted himself to remind us that we were born sinners and we were doomed unless we accepted Jesus as our Savior. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm just a kid. How bad can I be? And then I remembered that just that week, I had told Tiffany that yes, I did like her new sweater, when actually I hated the color brown. I'd said it because I didn't want to hurt her feelings. But now I wondered if that had been the wrong thing to do, because it technically was lying, after all. And I knew that lying was a sin. I wanted to be a good Christian, but I had no idea how to do that, especially in situations such as Tiffany's sweater. I was pretty sure I could avoid breaking most of the commandments, but some felt like traps. After all, when you live on a farm, there are no days off. I knew I was a sinner, going to hell, and there wasn't a darn thing I could do about it. All around me sat people, most of whom I'd known all of my young life, and I felt so lost, so alone. There was no way I could connect the love that Jesus had for me with the absolutes I kept finding in the rest of the Bible. Over the years, I tried the other churches in town, the Lutherans, the Catholics, the Church of the Nazarene, and the Living Word. Each one had their own variation of the Presbyterian's message, but none of them helped me come to terms with what I read in the Bible and what made sense to my young mind. When I'd ask my friends how they knew how to be Christians, their answers were vague, and they were usually punctuated with, well, you just have to believe, or because the Bible says so. And by the time I approached middle school, I was a historical critical questioner surrounded by biblical literalists. And I didn't feel welcome in any congregation. I finally got so frustrated that I set aside my Bible and I stopped even trying. My experiences in middle school and high school were probably a lot like most everybody else's. There were good times and some not so good times. I moved twice. I attended 3 high schools. I had unrequited crushes. I worked part-time jobs and I did my homework. And for the most part, I did what all of the other kids I knew were doing, except that I didn't go to a church. Not once, not all the way through middle school and high school, did I ever worship in a church. Looking back, I think that during those years, I really was lost. Far more lost than I'd ever been during those 20 minutes in the Sears hardware department. I was lost not of the body, but of my spiritual self. At a time when I had even more questions about my faith, I was the farthest from finding a community that could help me answer those questions. I needed help finding my way. But because I hadn't felt welcome in any of those communities, it felt like there was no faith community for me. Like so many people who have an innate faith and spiritual calling, I was trying to find my way to the place that I wanted to find, but I didn't know if it even existed. A place not of absolutes, but a place of conversation and shades of gray. Luckily, I ended up attending a UCC-affiliated college. And there, I met a UCC preacher's kid, whom I liked well enough to agree to go to church with him. And of course, by then I was actually married to him, and so it was easy to say yes to his request. And it was like finding the promised land of churches. I found there was a name for someone like me, a progressive Christian. I met pew fulls of believers in the teachings of Jesus Christ who also argued about the applicability of some of the Bible in our current lives. I found people talking about the importance of translation and context, the subtle nuances of time and place, and the many shades of gray in biblical interpretation. And I found out that Luke was written originally in Greek, from which the term to miss the mark was translated into the English word sinner. The parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin were no longer derailed for me by my struggle with the absoluteness of the word sinner, because I learned to read it as a message not how bad people were, but instead how wonderful the world could be when we all try again and again to live the way Jesus did, by welcoming all. Jesus' use of the parables of the sheep and the coin are his response to the murmurings of the Pharisees and the scholars. They were judging him for spending time with people who had missed the mark. And Jesus was reminding them and us that it is more important to sit together in unity with everyone, to welcome all to the table. That is the greatest celebration. Not that no one ever got lost. Indeed, the celebration is because people strove to be better, and in the struggle, they found their way. What a difference finding the UCC has made in my life. Although I don't know precisely where I am going, I no longer feel lost. Instead, I feel like I have found where I am supposed to be, right here. I am so proud to work for UCC Church. We do good work here, locally, in the Central Pacific Conference, and nationally. We have always been a church of firsts, and we should be proud of that. Yes, we were the first church to ordain a female minister, the first to ordain a black minister, the first to ordain to have an openly gay minister. We were the first to marry same-sex couples, and we are the first to divest our financial investments from fossil fuels in order to combat climate change. That just happened at General Synod in June. We donate hundreds of hours of our time and labor to make our community better. And when we do that, we are finding the lost sheep and the lost coins of Vancouver and beyond. And we are bringing them home because we welcome them here. But what makes me most proud is that we don't teach our children that church is a place of absolutes that can make them feel lost simply for asking questions or being curious. No, here we affirm all children regardless of who they are or how they are. And by doing that, we are ensuring our children don't feel lost on their spiritual journey. Instead, they know they are truly welcome here. Our children know precisely where they are. They are growing up in a church that shows them the many ways they are made in God's own image. A church that shows them how to live as a Christian is by being compassionate and just, by welcoming all along the journey. Being a Christian means doing the right thing, and when not quite making that mark, to keep trying again and again until finally successful. These children are in church, in a church that holds sacred and ancient text, but continues to find ways of making ancient words relevant in our world today by studying its many shades of gray. Our children are indeed found here. And honestly, it isn't just the children of this church who experience that message, because we are all reminded we are God's children, made in God's own image. We who all look so different from one another, who have such varied passions and skills, who may be mistaken for more different than alike. We are all one, each of us trying once again to make the mark rather than miss it. We are God's children. Here we know we are not lost. Indeed, we are found. We are found by a community of faith and tradition that honors us and guides us. A community that lifts us up and holds us close, and it teaches us to be even better versions of ourselves as we journey together. Amen.